We're continuing to look through the book of Ephesians, and the title of our message today is Off with the Old, On with the New. And in chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians, we saw doctrine, the basic doctrines of God's election, how He chose us, how He predestinated us for salvation, how He sent His Son to die for us, called us, drew us to Himself. In chapters 4 through 6, we see doctrine in these chapters as well, but the emphasis in these chapters is also practical, how we apply these doctrines in the world in which we live. Earlier in chapter 4, we learned that sound doctrine is very important, that we not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Every time you hear something new, you think, oh, okay, I'll believe that now, and then change next week. But we learned further in chapter 4 that we don't walk, or that is, live, as Gentiles live, having our minds darkened towards spiritual things. And once our minds are darkened to spiritual things, we turn to lust and become slaves to lust. Some think that lust is what brings us freedom. No, it captivates. It makes us a slave. And then, as we saw in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. And that's our message for today, verses 20 through 24. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, baby God.
In verse 22, we see the need to put off the old man. That seems to be a necessity, or we can put on the new man, although, as we'll see, we never really shed the old man completely. Christ taught us to put off the old man, and the word that he used there for put off means to lay aside or renounce, possibly throw away. But put that aside. You notice it says throw away. That's one possible translation of this. In other words, it isn't as though we get rid of the old man entirely. We can't. That old man is going to be with us right up until we actually get into heaven itself. But put it aside in the sense that we stow it away. We renounce. Pack it up and put it in the closet. Maybe lock it up in the closet. If we put that aside, speaking of the conversation, the former conversation of the old man, and conversation, as the word is used there, doesn't just mean the way we talk. Conversation means way of life in general, behavior, dealings with others. Put aside the way our old life deals with others, the way our old life behaves, the old man, as it's called here, and we do so because it is corrupted. Corrupted, yes, corrupted from all the way back to the fall itself, but as we see the cancer of sin spreading, the corruption just spreads and increases and grows deeper. So we put aside the old man, and understanding that we're putting aside with us what Paul calls here the deceitful lust. Lust, meaning without a spiritual conscience, a spiritual compass, without an eye toward God, we just look to whatever pleases us, whatever feels good, whatever sounds pleasant, whatever looks good, whatever gives us pleasure. That becomes the purpose for life when we've lost sight of a moral compass, when we've lost sight of the God to whom that moral compass points. And it's called deceitful lust here because lust is ultimately deceitful. It promises pleasure, but it brings misery. It promises happiness, but it brings bondage. It promises freedom, but it brings chains. So we are to put off that old man, the way the old man used to live, the deceitful lust that it leads to. And instead, as we're told in verse 23, we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Say to be renewed. The word in the Douay translation, the translation used by many Roman Catholics, is that we are to be renewed in the spirit of the mind, just almost exactly like the King James says. The International Standard Version puts it this way, to be renewed in our mental attitude, a change of attitude. And that word renew, a good way to translate that word renew is to be made young again. It's in the middle or passive voice, meaning it's not something that we do. We don't just renew ourselves. We are renewed. God renews us. But also, it is in the infinitive sense as a participle and continuing action, in the sense that it means we keep on being renewed. This is a continuous process by which God is continuously renewing us after the spirit of our mind. And the spirit of our mind is probably a reference to the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit, working upon the Word, is changing our minds, transforming our minds. Young, fresh. The spirit, or the mind, is more important than the body. Sin begins in the mind and translates itself further into words and into action, but it begins with our thoughts. And a young, fresh spirit or mind is far more important than a young body. I know that phrase, be made young again, sounds good to a lot of us, doesn't it? But even more in the spirit than in the body, being made young again. And on to verse 24, where we read that we are to put on the new man. What's the new man then? Well, when we say we're to put the new man on, putting on refers to dressing, putting clothing on, but more than just putting clothing on the outside, it refers to an inner transformation as well. The new man, the word there, kainon anthropon, just like the old man, as we thought, was kainon anthropon. Old man, new man, both of them are very accurate translations, even though you see a lot of the more modern translations that give it more figurative translation, but this literally is what it's saying. Off with the old man, on with the new man. But what do we mean then? Putting on this new man, fresh, new, unused. But I like the way Ellicott translates this. Ellicott says that it is a freshness of a higher nature. Kind of like maybe it's time to replace your cell phone. And so you go in to replace that cell phone, and maybe you tell them, I have this iPhone 10, I want another one just exactly like it. That's not what you're asking for usually, though. No, usually you're saying, I want an upgrade. And that's what we're talking about here, an upgrade. The new man is an upgrade over the old. The new man will be more capable in so many ways than the old man. It is truly an upgrade, making us more like God. Because it says, which after God is created in righteousness. After God, meaning in the image of God. And as we're created after God, this means after God's fashion. It means that we imitate His attributes. Not omniscience or omnipotence or omnipresence. We're not going to have those. But the attributes of love, of justice, of holiness, of righteousness, veracity, truthfulness, those are the attributes that we imitate. And here in this life, at least, we will imitate them only in degree. But being, putting on the new man means being created, recreated, upgraded, to be more like God in true righteousness. By righteousness there, we mean, first of all, declared righteousness. You know, we are declared righteous before God. Even as we stand here sinful and everything like that, the fact is that God has sent his Son to pay the penalty for us. And so we stand before him with the record wiped clean, dikaiosune, declared righteous, because of what Christ has done for us. But there's also the experience of righteousness. We are declared righteous, but as we grow in Christ, we become more like him, and we acquire more and more righteousness within us. Righteousness and holiness, different word there from the usual word for holiness. This particular word carries the idea of godliness and piety and a sincere reverence for God, an awe of God, a fear of God in every right sense of the word. This last night I heard somebody on Bill Gaither's TV program where he was saying that we need to take ourselves, or we need to take God more seriously and ourselves less seriously. Too often we do the opposite. We take ourselves very seriously and God much less seriously. All right, so we've been looking through these passages. We have not so learned Christ, we've seen, and we have heard him, we've been taught by him, and we know the truth is in Jesus. We know that we are to put off the old and put on the new. Off with the old man, on with the new man. But what does this mean? Well, some people think that becoming a Christian means everything is instantaneously different. Everything changes all at once. Hardly that's correct. Our position in Christ changes all at once. Before, we were sinners condemned to hell. Now we have been declared righteous because Christ's righteousness has been applied to us. And so we stand before Christ righteous because we've been declared so. But our life changes, and it changes slowly. And changing our lives, as we allow God to change them, is gradual. And sometimes it is hard work. Sometimes, when one is newly saved, one feels joy. One feels peace. One feels a glow. And that's wonderful when that happens. But you need to tell people when they feel that right after getting saved, that's wonderful, but you're not always going to feel this way. And when that glow leaves, that doesn't mean Christ has left you. It just means that life goes on. You have that new nature, but you also still have that old nature. There are a few who believe that once we get saved, we have no sinful nature anymore, and there are those who will say, I never sinned. I've never sinned in years. Well, usually they have a very, very narrow definition of sin. But at any rate, we acquire this new nature. But that doesn't mean the old nature is gone. We have to battle against that old nature. Mortifying the flesh is a term that Paul uses occasionally for this. We have to battle against that sinful nature all our lives. And sometimes this creates tension in our lives, especially for a new believer. You might put it this way, that we talk about that old man within us. He's kind of like a junkyard dog, let's say. And a mean junkyard dog, meaner than an angry, rabid rattlesnake. I don't know if rattlesnakes get rabies, but if they did, they'd be like this mean junkyard dog that lives within us. That is our sin nature. You have that mean junkyard dog living within you. But sometimes, if nobody's challenging him, You lived with him, fed him, taken care of him. Sometimes he might be rather subdued. Sometimes he might be rather quiet. But now, you become a Christian. And you get this new nature. Let's say the new nature is a new dog. Let's say it's a very well-trained, very well-bred canine German Shepherd, police canine, police dog. And this new dog is inside you. You got this old junkyard dog, this new police dog. What are they going to do? They're going to fight. Not only that, they're not only going to fight, but they may even fight beforehand. If that old junkyard dog senses that you're thinking about becoming a Christian, you are under conviction from the Holy Spirit, you're looking at the Word, you're agonizing over your sins, that old junkyard dog starts to smell that new canine outside, sees that new canine coming close, and he snarls and growls and puts up quite a fuss. The result is that during this time when you are agonizing over whether to become a Christian, you are feeling conflict. You're feeling tension. You're feeling instability. And then when you become a Christian, that new dog enters. But the old dog is still there. And so they fight. Now, which dog is going to win out in this fight? The answer is which, the one you feed the most. If you feed the old dog regularly and neglect the new, so that the old dog has plenty of food, plenty of energy, he's not going to drive out the new dog entirely, but he's going to minimize that new dog's influence, and that new dog may retreat to a closet and hide. But if you just feed the new dog, the old dog is going to eventually kind of fade away. He won't die off in this life. He'll be gone in eternity, but in this life, he'll always be there. You'll always have that sin nature. You'll always have that old junkyard dog. But his influence will be less and less, and he'll be slunk off in the corner and not influencing you or anybody else very much. So, if you're thinking about this, and you're thinking, I certainly like to put off that old man and put on the new man, if you're thinking about that, what can you do? Suppose you're thinking, I want this new dog, that old dog. Yes, I've had that old junkyard dog in me for a long time, and it's not working out very well. What can I do? First, hate yourself. Recognize that you're a sinner, like all of us, and that you can't solve your problems by yourself. You can't become righteous by yourself. You need God's help. And God has provided that help through His Son, the Lord Jesus, who has paid the penalty as your substitute. And He has provided you the Holy Spirit, who will dwell within you and lead you in paths of righteousness. Second thing you do, though, is you nurture not the old dog. You could nurture that old dog and keep thinking of all those sins, keep reading the same kind of stuff that you've been reading before, hanging out with the same kind of friends that you had before, going to the same places as before. And that old dog would stay strong, but to nourish the new man, the new dog inside you, you need to feed on his word. I assure you, the old dog, the junkyard dog, he's not interested in feeding from the Word of God. That's food for the new dog. And that grows him in your life. So feed on his word. Study the word. A new Christian, maybe study the Gospel of John, or maybe the book of Romans, as learning the doctrines of the faith. If you're in grief, perhaps the place to turn to begin with is the book of Psalms. But the point of the matter is, feed on his word. Second thing is to pray to him. Pray to him regularly. Yes, we pray in church, but pray constantly and regularly before Him. A third is to seek the fellowship of God's people, the fellow believers. God places us among believers, and He admonishes us to forsake not the assembling together of the saints, because we need each other to keep each other strong in the Word. And finally, worship Him. Worship of all of us, but worship Him especially in church. So that's our message for today, putting off the old and putting on the new. And it is our hope that, especially those of you in the radio listening audience, that you will do precisely that. Become a new man in Jesus Christ.